Good morning, everyone. Everyone okay? I really felt encouraged, Wendy, by the way you started the meeting this morning. You asked the question, do you know your father's voice? Do you know your father's voice? And to be honest, that could be the title. It's not the title of this talk, but it could be the title of this talk. And you'll see why as we get into it. But I did want to preach today with the launch of the next Alpha in mind. I want to help prepare us because there might be lots of you in this room thinking, I don't need Alpha, you know, I already know Jesus. But the fact is that all of us know many people who don't know Jesus. And so actually all of us need to be thinking about how can I make the most of the opportunity of this Alpha that's coming up. Colossians 4, chapter 5 says this, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And Alpha is not the only way to reach people with the good news of Jesus, but it is a great tool and it is an opportunity for us to make the most of. Do you know, there are two groups of people in this world. There are those who have believed in Jesus, those who have been added into God's family, those who have come to a place of faith in him. And there are then people who are outside of the good news of Jesus, those who haven't yet believed. And it's really important to know, because there may be some of you in this room this morning who are kind of in that group of being outside of faith in Jesus right now. And the word outsiders, I know, could sound a little bit offensive. I don't want it to, because the fact is that those who are inside the good news of Jesus and those at the outside, it's not that those that are inside are better than those on the outside. Every one of us has been on the outside of relationship with God. But Jesus' offer of life and hope is open to every one of us, everyone who would believe. Any one of us here this morning can believe. Any one of us here can turn to Jesus and be added in to the hope of Jesus. And from the early days of this church, Open Door here, our vision has always been to be a church that would reach out to everyone, especially those not in church, those not used to being in church. That was when we started this kind of prophetic series looking at prophetic promises over 30 years of the church that we're in at the moment. That was something that Tony Thompson, the founding leader of this church, said. He said the vision was always to be a church that would reach out to everyone, especially those not used to being in church. And the vision of the church has been shaped by prophetic encouragements along the way, and there was a key one about being church among the people. We are to be a church that goes outside of the walls, and we've got our own walls now, and we've got new walls, and they're all painted nicely and so on, and it's nice. We love to come in together and enjoy being together, but actually God is calling us to be a church that goes out. And so this morning, the title is, it could be, do you know your father's voice? But it's actually a church reaching out. A church reaching out. But hold both of those things in mind. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 10 and 11. This is quite a long passage, so I haven't put it on slides for you this morning because I'm not sure exactly which bits I'm going to read and which bits I'm not. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'm really going to encourage you to open it up. Or if you've got it on your phone or on your device, I just want you to have Acts chapter 10 and 11 open in front of you. I really want to encourage you to bring a Bible with you to church, partly because we speak out of it every week, and partly because God might just want to speak to you out of something that's not being spoken from the front, and you might need to flick your Bible open to find something that he's prompting you for yourself or for someone else. Really important to have a Bible with you wherever you go, but particularly when you're in church. And this is quite a long passage we're going to look at. You know when you go to watch a play or a musical or you go to a movie and there's distinct scene changes? We're going to look at this story today in four distinct scene changes. Okay? Scene one, we're in the city of Caesarea. This is a significant Roman city named after Caesar Augustus. The main character in this scene is going to be a guy called Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman soldier of the Italian regiment, we'll see. Any Italians in the room? Bit louder, please, Ange. Come on. Ange's dad is Italian. I knew there was an Italian in the room. Cornelius was highly respected because he was from the Italian regiment. He was part of the Roman army. But it's interesting, he's from the Italian regiment. He's from originally from Italy. He's highly respected. He's got status. He's got that elite social class. And so we're going to read Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8, first of all. It says this, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. And the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So here we find Cornelius. He has lots going for him in life. He's well respected. He's got status, as I've already described. And in his life, somewhere along the line, he's been drawn towards God. It tells us that he and his family, it describes them as being devout and God-fearing. So Cornelius has come to know something of God, but he's not yet fully discovered the whole of the good news of Jesus. But he's being drawn. He's being drawn. So much so that his life has been impacted. He's living with a healthy fear, a healthy respect of God. It tells us that his life was marked with generosity to the poor. He had a heart for the poor, and he had a heart for prayer, it tells us. And then one day, God appears to him in a vision of an angel. He sees an angel, and he receives these specific instructions to send for this guy called Simon Peter. And he's told specifically where he will be found, the actual location. And what I want us to notice in this scene is that God is encountering Cornelius by his Holy Spirit even before he's come to know Jesus. Cornelius is getting prophetic direction before he's even come to know Jesus. And like the good soldier that Cornelius is, he's obedient straight away. That's what soldiers have to do, isn't it? When they get given instructions, they have to act quickly. And Cornelius is quick to obey this instruction from the Lord. And my question to us in this scene of the story is, are we expecting God to be encountering people outside of this church? Do you know the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of people outside of the church all the time? We've spoken a bit at the front, and I've heard in other places this idea of a quiet revival that is taking place in this nation. I was in a meeting this week where Gavin Calver, he's the kind of director of the Evangelical Alliance, he was speaking, and he was talking about this quiet revival. And he said one of the amazing things is of these many people, many young people, particularly young adults who are coming into church, it was something like 42 or 45% of them are encountering God on their own before they even come into a church. They're encountering God in dreams. They're encountering God online. They're encountering God in all kinds of different ways, through visions. They're encountering God as they see him in creation. There's all kinds of different ways that people outside the church are encountering God. We should not be surprised that God is on the move by his Spirit outside the walls of the church, drawing people to himself, revealing Jesus, and pointing them towards church. What is happening is people are turning up at churches and saying, "I've had this experience of Jesus, and now I need to understand what to do with that." Isn't that incredible? Isn't that wonderful? We must not think that because we are the church and we sing about Jesus and we read the Bible that we are the only people where God is at work amongst us. God is doing a great amount of work outside of the walls of the church. We've had these stories even in our own church over the last kind of year or so, or over the last few years. Many of you know Sam's story of how he encountered God for himself, and then kind of rocked up at church, brought his dad along, and said, "You know, I've encountered something of the gospel of Jesus, and now I need to know how to live this out, and I need to live it with other people." And now the whole of Sam's family is kind of with us at Open Door. It's incredible. I've spoken personally to other people. We've had other people that have arrived and come in, visited us as a church, who have encountered Jesus in visions and dreams. God is at work. And as we approach Alpha, I want to ask us, are you expecting that God is preparing hearts where we've not even started yet? He is drawing people to know Jesus. Those where we don't even realize that he's already at work. That's a good scene, isn't it? Scene one. We like that one. Scene two. Main character in scene two is Peter. We know Peter, Simon Peter. He's one of Jesus' disciples. He's one of the leaders of the early church. It tells us that he was at another Simon's house, who was a tanner. Now, a tanner is somebody that would turn animal hides into leather. This is an unusual place for Peter to be because Peter was a Jew, and it would be considered unclean for Peter to be in this house because, you know, being around people that worked with dead animals was not something that was encouraged in terms of being clean and being being a religious leader of the Jews. So we're going to read a few verses at a time from verse 9 onwards. So verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey, so that's the delegation that Cornelius has sent specifically to this guy, Simon Peter, at a specific location that the Holy Spirit has revealed to him. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Let's just pause there for a moment. So what's happening? Peter is going to get some time with God. He's going onto the roof to pray. Let's not miss this. Peter was a man of prayer. Peter, we read lots of activity that Peter's involved in the pages of the Bible. We read lots of stories of him preaching and healing people and spending time out amongst the community. But here what we're seeing is that Peter had gone to the roof to pray. That's why I was so keen that we have a prayer room as part of this church building. That we have space where people can go and pray. They can go and be with God. They can intentionally take time out just to go and sit and be with him. And to speak to him and to listen to him. We should also feel encouraged that whilst Peter goes to pray, what does it tell us? It tells us he got hungry. First of all, anyone gone to pray before and been distracted by a bit of hunger? Or you start to pray and you suddenly need a cup of tea or whatever it is, whatever distractions come in and it begins to kind of try and distract our minds from what we're supposed to, what we've gone to do, which was to go and to pray. And then he has this trance. I don't know if this is another kind of sleepy moment. You know, sometimes when I go to pray, I start to feel sleepy. Well, I don't know if that's quite what's happening here with Peter, but he has this trance. It says he fell into a trance. You see, God was about to meet with Peter in this place of prayer by his Holy Spirit. Do you know your Father's voice? Do you know your Father's voice? It says this, verse 11. He saw heaven opened. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Again, as a Jewish, as a Jewish man, Peter knew that he was not supposed to eat these kind of animals. That was part of their kind of traditions. It was part of the religious requirements that he'd grown up with. And here he is. He's getting this kind of trance. He's getting this message from God, which is saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And so Peter's reply is, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. You see, the reason that we need to know our Father's voice is, if that happened to me, I might be wondering, is that a temptation? Is that of the devil? Because he's being asked to do something that up until this point he's not been encouraged to do. And there's all kinds of questions around this, but the fact is that God was really speaking to him. We actually see as we read on different examples in Peter's voice in Peter's life, there were a number of times where something happened three times with Peter. We know that he denied Jesus three times. We know that he was restored. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep three times when Peter was restored. When you see something happening three times around Peter, you know that God is involved. But Peter didn't know that necessarily right at the time. And the point is, the prophetic, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it doesn't always make sense all of the time. And we have to weigh things. We don't always get the whole picture. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to see what God is doing. But as we read on, what we're going to see is that Peter became clear that this was the voice of God speaking to him. Verse 17, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate. And they called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, the Spirit says to him. Is that because he's aware now that the Holy Spirit is speaking to him? Or did he write this? Was this written afterwards? I don't know. But at some point, Peter becomes aware that this is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaks to him. Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Some point in this scene, Peter is realizing that God is on the move, and he locks in. I love how God is patient with him. I love how God brings him along on the journey. But he's being really clear and he's being really specific. Do not hesitate to go with them. I have sent them. So Peter went down, verse 21. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Again, he hasn't got the whole picture. At this point, he's just being obedient to what he feels that the Lord is saying to him. He's just taking little steps of obedience that's turning into one big story. The men replied, verse 22, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. And a holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. And then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. This is Peter doing something unthinkable. He's inviting these men who are Gentiles. He's a Jewish man. They are a Gentile delegation. And he's inviting those that are outside of his community into the home as his guests. He's welcoming them in. What we're witnessing here is the transformation of Peter's heart. He's now staying in the house of an unclean tanner, and he's welcoming in a bunch of Gentiles and showing them hospitality. As he's gradually saying yes to the Holy Spirit, he's now catching the heart of God, that the gospel is good news for all people. The gospel is good news for all people. Who are we that we should think that the good news is just for the church? I mean, sometimes we live like that. Sometimes we live as though we have exclusive rights to Jesus. That's not the gospel. Most of us in this room come from a Gentile background. I don't know if there's anyone that comes from a Jewish background. There might be. Most of us come from a Gentile background of all the other nations of the world. And we've been welcomed into the story. So who are we to exclude anyone else and to think it's ours, just for us? This scene, scene two, shows us a few things. Firstly, it shows us that prayer leads to gospel breakthrough. Prayer leads to gospel breakthrough. As we pray, we can expect the Holy Spirit to be moving. The Holy Spirit to be moving outside of the walls of the church. We expect, you know, that was happening before Peter even prayed. But as Peter was praying, he was prompted. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was guided. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a guide. The Holy Spirit leads us. And the Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead people to Jesus. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, don't be surprised that he's going to lead you outside the walls of the church. He's going to catch us up on the mission of Jesus, which is to reach outsiders, people that are outside of the good news of Jesus at this point. They're no different to us. It's just that we've come to hear the good news of Jesus and we've responded to it, and now our responsibility is to give others a chance to do the same. I wonder, when did you last talk with someone outside of the church about Jesus? Just think about it. When was the last conversation you had with someone outside of the church about Jesus? I wonder, was it this week? I wonder, was it this month or this year? I had a conversation, I think it was last week, had a conversation with a guy. I went to, we had a car that died, I had to go and buy a car, and I went to meet this guy that was picking this car up from a car salesman, and as I went there, we just sort of talking about, oh, you had a busy day, what you been doing, and I happened to mention what I do for a job, that I work for a church, and he kind of got this bit of jewelry out with a cross on it, and he said, he started talking about being a Christian, but as we were talking, it was really clear that I'm not sure if he actually was a Christian. And so we had a bit of a conversation, but if I'm really honest, I didn't do a great job of that conversation. I kind of wasn't ready. I wasn't expecting it. And so it kind of happened. It came and went really quickly, and reflecting back on it, I wish I'd kind of made more of that opportunity, that kind of Colossians 4 verse 5 moment of making the most of every opportunity. The opportunity was there and I kind of missed it. Had a bit of a conversation, but it's a bit woolly. You know, there was no kind of, you know, God can do something with that, of course. But in reflection, I was wishing I'd kind of asked him a little bit, drawn him in a bit more. Are you ready? We also see in this scene that following Jesus involves moving us outside of our comfort zones. If you think that following Jesus is going to be comfortable, you've believed the wrong gospel. You've believed the wrong message. Following Jesus is not ever meant to be comfortable. It's always going to involve you going outside of where you're comfortable. Jesus always went and always goes outside of where he's comfortable to reach people and to love people and to care for people. He always steps towards brokenness. He stepped towards brokenness when he went to the cross in our place so that we could be restored. And he asks us, he calls us to follow him. Following him doesn't mean just kind of walking after Jesus whilst he does all the stepping outside of the comfort zone. Following him means make your life look like his. Follow his example. Don't just follow and watch what he's doing. No, make your life, live a life that looks like Jesus. That's what he's calling us to. Following Jesus always involves moving beyond comfort. Ask the question, when did you last have someone outside talk with someone outside the church? But what we see in this scene that we've just read is that Peter invites people into the home. When did you last invite strangers? When did you last invite people who you've recently just met into your home? People who don't yet know Jesus. What about us as a church, if we consider this as our family home? When people come in amongst us into our family home and we realize that they don't yet know Jesus, do we make an extra, you know, is extra motivation from within our hearts to think, oh, I really want to get to know these people and to show them that Jesus loves them? Because it's easy just to get drawn to the people that we already are friends with. Jesus is calling us out of where we're comfortable. Okay, let's keep moving. Scene 3. This is a scene where Peter arrives at Cornelius' house. So we're going to read from verse 23. The next day, so Peter didn't just invite them in, he invited them in as guests overnight. They stayed overnight. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. So there's a big gang of them now. So Peter and crew, and Cornelius's crew, both together on the road. And the following day, Peter's putting himself out here, right? The following day, this is a long journey that he's taking. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. I love that Cornelius was expecting Peter, and he knew that Peter was, he knew from this kind of vision of the angel, he knew that Peter was going to be bringing something good, but he didn't really know what. But what had he done? He'd gathered a crowd of people. That's a provocation to me. It's a provocation to us. Are we gathering our friends? Are we gathering our family? We know what the good news of Jesus is. Are we gathering people to share with them? Or are we gathering them to places where they can hear the good news of Jesus? Alpha is one of those places where we can gather people to hear about Jesus. Are we going to follow the example of Cornelius and gather our friends and our family in and say, "Come on, I've got some good news that I want you to know about"? Verse 28, he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Again, Peter's still working it out. This is one whole prophetic adventure, but he doesn't have the full picture even yet. Cornelius begins to explain the story in verse 30. Jump into verse 33. He says, "Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." That is an open opportunity right there. Peter, the Lord has told me, the Lord has shown me that you have something that you are going to say to us. We are here to hear everything that the Lord has commanded you. And Peter sees the opportunity opening up in front of him, and he preaches the gospel of Jesus. He preaches the good news. He preaches, he makes it fully known. This is a great example of always being ready. Are you ready to make the most of every opportunity? I wonder, how many opportunities do we miss? How many opportunities do we not even see to make the good news of Jesus known? And if you were to see an opportunity to make the good news of Jesus known, do you know how to explain the good news of Jesus in a minute, in a nutshell, in a way that somebody could understand, in a way that someone could understand, where you're using language which is kind of everyday understood language by the people that you're speaking to? That's kind of on us, isn't it, to prepare and be ready for these opportunities, to know what the gospel is, to be able to explain it ourselves. I'm going to read it. I'm looking at time. I'm thinking, have I got time to write? I'm going to read it. It's God's word. I'm reading it to us, right? Verse 34, Peter began to speak. I now realize, this is how he explains the gospel. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed, this is the verse that Simon spoke on last week, by the way, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God has raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And you know, when the gospel goes out, something happens. The gospel always bears fruit. Sometimes we can see it, sometimes we can't see what's happening, but the gospel is always bearing fruit. And we read this, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that's the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The Holy Spirit came in that moment. You know, you don't, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to know all the answers. They've just heard the gospel, and their hearts have responded with faith. And then the Holy Spirit, Peter hasn't even prayed for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit has fallen upon them. And they're speaking in tongues and praising God. That is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to come and flow in us. The Holy Spirit wants to come over us and to fill us so that we would praise God, that we would speak in tongues, that we would delight in him, that our lives would be bold and courageous for Jesus. And Peter, seeing this, he says in verse 47, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. Again, they're not waiting. They're not waiting to make sure that they're living a good Christian life before they get baptized. We're doing baptisms next week, as we've already said. Come see me if you want to be baptized. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. And they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Again, Peter's put himself out to take the gospel to places outside of his own community. This here is the fruit of obedience. It's the fruit of obedience of Cornelius and Peter coming together. They're both being obedient to the way the Holy Spirit has prompted them in their lives. What amazing things happen when we obey. We don't know what God is going to do or what God is doing until we step out into it. You won't have the full picture. God's not going to say, this is what's going to happen. You're going to step out and this is everything. You're going to see it all. This is how it's going to work. This, 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 and this. And then this is going to happen and then you can celebrate. It doesn't work like that. You get a prompting to step out and you step out a little bit. And then God gives you the next bit and you step out a bit more. The Holy Spirit falls on them. I was thinking about our friends in Pakistan. And how that has come about out of nothing. It wasn't something we were planning. If you're part of this church, you'll know we're connected with a family in Pakistan. Hopefully, some of them are going to be visiting us in a couple of months' time. It came out of something Chris was asked to do, to meet with one of the family to do something with Freedom in Christ. And Chris obediently said yes. But out of that has come a weekly Bible discovery with a family, and then others sometimes sitting in, and then they are going to do Bible discovery with a whole load of group of young people on Saturdays, and they go out to villages, and they're doing Bible discoveries and supporting in the school, and all kinds of stuff that is going on that we are now part of. God has opened that up by his Holy Spirit as little promptings have been followed. Could say more on that, but I want to jump to scene 4 because this is important. Scene 4, a few days later, Acts 11, verse 1 to 4, just a few verses. Listen carefully to this because you won't believe it. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. What do you think their response was? Yes, this is amazing. The word of God has gone out. This is wonderful news. Verse 2. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them. I told you, you won't believe it. I didn't believe it. That's the response. It's a critical spirit. They're more concerned about who Peter had spent time with than the word of God being received by people from other nations. You see, the gospel provokes us as a church as much as it provokes people that haven't yet heard it. The gospel can be offensive to us sometimes when we, you know, maybe the gospel's been offensive to you sometime when you've seen somebody receive the gospel and be forgiven. You think, how can they be forgiven? And verse 4, starting from the very beginning, Peter told them the whole story. And then thankfully, when they hear Peter's explanation, they are quick to change their minds. By verse 17, if God gave the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they had no further objections and they praised God. They got there. They praised God saying, so then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So my question out of this scene is, how are our hearts towards those outside of the church? To those who are different from us, those that are coming from challenging places, to those who use language that is different to us, to those whose relationships look different to us, to those whose morals have up to this point been very different than our community, to those whose priorities and how they spend their money is very different to us. Jesus came for everyone who would believe. Will you welcome those outside of the church? Will you go out to those outside of the church? In summary, let me finish with this, just to try and summarize all that I've just said. As we approach, so it's about approaching Alpha, yes, but it's not. It's more about how we live our life all the time, isn't it? But as we approach Alpha, as we live our lives, will we be full of expectation that God is clearly preparing people to receive the good news? Will you be full of expectation that God is at work in your family who don't yet know him, in your neighborhood with people who don't yet know him, in your workplace with people who don't yet know him? God is at work. God is preparing the ground for things he's calling you to do, conversations he's calling you to have. Will you be prayerful? Because mission flows out of prayer. Will you be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he prompts you? Will you make sure that you're ready to speak about Jesus? And will you be quick to those, to go to those who maybe you feel are different to yourself, but in actual fact, they're not that different at all. We're all broken people. It's just that some of us have been restored because of Jesus and belief in Jesus. We're all called to go out.